The Republican candidate for Attorney General, Erica Harold, is joining us this morning. Erica, first off, it's good to speak to you again.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Listening tour, 3 weeks. All right. There's listening and there's hearing. What have you been hearing?
People want change. Specifically with the Attorney General's office, they want an Attorney General who's willing to fight public corruption and willing to hold both parties accountable. People are frustrated by having two sets of rules, one set of rules for the rest of us and the other set of rules for the political class. And they've been very heartened by the fact that I've identified public corruption as one of my top priorities to combat.
I have talked to Lisa Madigan on that issue in relationship to the Attorney General's office, and so often she has referenced that many of these things fall under the heading of federal, that the federales, the FBI are here, they're, you know, the federal investigators, and that she had to take a back seat to that. She didn't use that word. That's me using the proverbial sense there.
Well, there are certainly areas that fall more under the federal jurisdiction, but there are absolutely things that the Attorney General can do with respect to some of the patronage hiring and the crony contracts that are awarded. And that's why it's important to have an Attorney General that's innovative and proactive and not just reactive on these issues. People are frustrated with the way our government's working, and they deserve a government that's accountable, transparent, and fair, and I'm going to work hard to give them that.
You know, it's interesting because it seems to many people, and you look and you say, okay, this amicus brief is being filed here or this, that in many people's opinion that have spoke to me, that the attorney generals in various states, including Illinois, have become an arm of the resistance.
You see them filing a lot of lawsuits trying to challenge federal policy where the state doesn't actually have legal standing. My position on it is if the federal government actually has authority to do something, it's a waste of taxpayer dollars to file lawsuits to try to block that. Now, if the federal government exceeds the scope of its authority or discretion, absolutely the states should file a lawsuit. But if you're just trying to obstruct policy that the federal government actually has constitutional authority to enact, you're wasting taxpayer dollars, and you're using the office for partisan purposes, and that's not what it's for.
You know, when it comes to that, you talk about the breakdown, because we've already been interviewing some judges, you're right, because there's a number of them on the ballots here in Southern Illinois. And
absolutely.
A number of people, have, including some of the judges that I've talked to on and off, right, we've got laws, but you have to observe them. You can't pick which law you want to enforce or to ignore. And you talked about transparency and you talked about corruption. But when you look at this from the standpoint of immigration, some of the new polling, 82% of Americans believe this is the number one subject we need to be dealing with. And that if we don't, I mean, it's kind of hard to say, look, here's a speeding ticket, or you're walking your dog without a leash. We're going to write you a ticket, come into the country illegally and nothing. That disparity in people's minds that we have to enforce the law to have civil except for these.
That is a frustration that people routinely express to me, and the federal government needs to address this issue, because right now it's leaving states in a very bad position where we don't have the authority that we need to be able to address the issue fully. It's a federal issue, and they continue to kick the can down the road, and they've been doing this for decades, and it's time for everyone to acknowledge that our system is broken and that we do have to be a nation of laws. And those laws have to be enforced, and the federal government needs to do its job.
Were you a little surprised about the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and their Second Amendment ruling this week? Because it didn't get a lot of mainstream attention, but this is the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. And they said,
Not get to read it yet. So tell me what happened.
Well, they said, yes, Second Amendment, allowing open carry of guns. I mean, this is one of the most liberal courts in the world, and these guys say, well, Constitution is very clear on this. You can have open carry. And Ninth Circuit, a court of appeals, that struck
that
me.
That is surprising, but the Second Amendment is a part of our Constitution, and it's important that all of our constitutional rights, including the Second Amendment, are upheld, protected, and respected. And so if the Ninth Circuit is recognizing that the Second Amendment exists in our Constitution, still good for them.
Judge O'Scanlan wrote, but for better or for worse, the Second Amendment does protect a right to carry a firearm in public for self-defense. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, probably their most conservative ruling in their history.
I will have to read that as soon as we get off the phone, because I appreciate this kind of good news.
Right. And one of the issues that because here's the thing, right? And they talk about more gun laws for Illinois. They talk about more licensing. You have to have a state license, right, for that. And that we need to have regulation. We need to have regulation. Illinois has more regulation than gun ownership than any state of the union, and still they insist they need more.
That's right. You always hear people revert back to that whenever they want to talk about these issues. But the reality is Illinois already has a lot of gun laws, and the Second Amendment still has to be upheld. But there are things that we can do on issues of violence prevention that do not involve taking guns from law-abiding citizens. When I've worked in the field of trying to help prevent youth violence and bullying for many years, and there are ways that we can make our schools safer where there are best practices and evidence that shows that it actually would work to reduce violence. And that's where we need to be focusing our efforts at this point.
Right. And Jackson County is just okayed hiring, I believe, guards for their schools. It's interesting, and I'm curious about this standpoint from a lawyer standpoint, from a potential attorney general. We're speaking this morning with a Republican candidate for attorney general, Erica Harold. Counties putting things on their ballot to try to let their will be known. Gun sanctuary status, immigration sanctuary status for some counties, and some resolutions that say, look, we're not going with that old idea of a statewide 1% tax on property to pay for pensions. In some cases, you know, a resolution saying no. I mean, there's on this county level, they're wanting to put things on the ballot to push back against the state of Illinois to let their will be known in various forms. Is this good for our system?
Well, one of the things you're seeing is that people throughout the state of Illinois do not feel like their voices are being heard. They don't feel like their elected officials are representing their will. And they're trying to find some way of saying, listen, Our voices and our views matter, and we want them to be taken into consideration. So I think that's why you are seeing the proliferation of a lot of resolutions across the state on a variety of issues. Now, obviously, they vary based on the subject matter, and state's attorneys will have to decide how to handle certain issues. But citizens do have the right to be heard, and I think that's why you're seeing so many of these resolutions throughout the state of Illinois.
You know, when it comes to this, their will being known, taxes, right? And it's not really under the purview of the attorney general here, but when we come up with some of these ideas and they're on the ballot, I guess it may come to a legal point at some point. As you said, you know, the area state's attorneys need to think about this as well. But when people look at, because they're talking about it, federal government, 15-cent gallon tax, 20%. You know, a progressive tax idea here. I mean, and then when you look at the attorney general's office and your opponent, people say to me, gee whiz, we're about to become California without the good weather.
Right. Whenever people are saying that, it's not a good thing for Illinois. But people are tired of the government continuing to nickel and dime them with various taxes and disguising taxes as fees. That's frustrating to people, particularly when they don't actually see any improvement of services. Because in Illinois, the tax rates continue to go up, but you're not actually seeing an improvement of services. And when you look at the fact that J.B. Pritzker's, his sole platform is the progressive income tax, that would be a disaster for Illinois. The few remaining people and businesses within our state would say, you know what, it's time to go.
So what do you think about Nighthawk Coal?
It was an incredible experience. I had the opportunity to go underground into the coal mine yesterday, and I had no idea what to expect, but it was a fantastic experience. I was fascinated by the way in which they have such a devotion to safety, and they were showing me as I was in the mine all of the safety protective measures they have. And it was great to hear about all of the job and economic opportunities for people there. I had the opportunity to speak with many of the miners and hearing about their experiences and the way in which this job opportunity empowered them to have choices in their lives was fantastic. And I can't say enough for the positive experience I had there.
You know, those guys, and I've grown up around coal miners my entire life, literally my entire life. When the times were good, times were bad, and I stood in the middle of a riot, a union riot in Galicia, Illinois, right? Been with these guys, these men and women, both my entire life. They work very hard. They love their families. They try to build something. They work very, very hard in sometimes dangerous conditions, as you talked about, try to make them as safe as possible. But it's a dirty job. And, you know, when I talk to these folks, you referenced it early, they go underground, and when they come back out, they're in the sunlight of the day, they still don't feel like anybody sees or hears them.
Well, that's why I went there, because I've been traveling on my statewide listening tour to industries, companies, and facilities all throughout the state where people do not feel heard, and people feel that people are making regulations and policies about their industry without having any level of experience or expertise. And so I wanted to go under and see for myself what they do. I was surprised by how clean the mine itself was, because I was down there just in my regular clothing, and I had protective gear on, of course, but I was also surprised by how automated and technologically advanced the process was. And I told them once I came out, I would make sure to share with the public about my experience, because most people will never have that opportunity. And as I was taking the tour, I thought, I have 2 5-year-old nephews who would kill to be in this mine, because they would love to see how the equipment's operating.
Yeah, it is interesting. And, you know, it's another one of those jobs that President Obama said are not coming back. And there's no way, and we got to stop fooling ourselves, I believe, was his euphemism. And that would have been an interesting presentation yesterday in Granite City. Those jobs are not coming back.
We can't just give up. We cannot just give up on industries that are important to our state. And that's another part of this listening tour, is to remind people of the good things that are happening within the state of Illinois. Yes, there are many things that need to be reformed, but I would not be running for attorney general if I thought that Illinois' best days were behind her. I'm running for attorney general because I think if we could actually get our government policy in order, we could actually continue to have some economic recovery that you're seeing other states having throughout the country. And industries like coal, ag, manufacturing, those are opportunities for good jobs. And those are the bedrock of many communities. And we cannot have a defeatist attitude. We have to continue to protect those opportunities for people, because we're talking about their livelihood and way of life.
Two issues in particular that I think you're going to be dealing with over the course of the election. You can tell me if I'm wrong, and there's no hard feelings here. The ERA and abortion. Abortion's going to be a big one with Erica. They are already going after you on this one quite a lot from the Democratic Party.
They will probably continue to go after me, but I have to tell you, it's not something that people come up and talk to me about when on the listening tour, because the reality is that the Attorney General's job is to enforce the law as it exists. And so regardless of someone's view on this issue, there's nothing that the Attorney General is going to do to change the law. Everybody knows that I'm pro-life, but everybody also knows that I'm somebody who takes following the law very seriously. And so when people continue to make the issue about issues like that, what that tells you is they're afraid to actually run on their record. And Senator Raul has continued to raise people's taxes. He has lacked the courage to stand up against Michael Madigan. He's lacked the courage to stand up against Berrios on our unfair property tax system. They keep focusing on those other issues because they want to distract you from their failed record.
You know, it's interesting because I've heard this, you know, within the Democratic Party. It's been a prominent message that if you don't support women, you don't give them the support they need, then there's a special place in hell for you, except if you don't support Erica Harold. And you know exactly what I'm talking about, right? We see this on a national level. Anybody who doesn't support a woman in politics and her voice, and then they turn right around and endorse the male Democratic Party member. And in your case, right, you got to support women. There's a special place in hell. Anybody who doesn't support women in politics and their voice, except for you. You feel this duplicity?
You certainly do see a double standard. But what I see is that people in our state actually want you to focus on issues that affect their lives. And they will vote for you if they believe you will fight for them. And so when you continue to see distractions on the other side, I hope voters continue to remember, people are distracting me if they don't have a good record. And I've been talking about issues that affect people's lives, workers' compensation reform, public corruption, the opioid epidemic, some of the things that we need to do to reform our criminal justice system. And I've talked about my own track record of accomplishing things in those arenas. My opponent will continue to distract because he has a failed record, And regardless of the distraction, I'm going to keep the voters' attention focused on what matters to their lives and to them, because that's what this election should be about.
If you were to pick one single item out of the bowl, right, that is the biggest difference between you and your opponent, which is one of the key components of winning a race, is differentiating yourself from your opponent, and you only get one choice, which one would it be?
It's public corruption, because my opponent has sat in Springfield for the past 14 years and done nothing to stand up against Madigan. Nothing in Springfield when you're hearing about the corruption with respect to sexual harassment. He has been silent. If you've been silent for 14 years in Springfield, there's no reason to believe that you should be elevated to the top legal position in our state, and that we should believe that you would stand up against the corruption that's happening within our state. If you haven't done it within the past 14 years, there's no reason to believe you'd start doing it now.
When you returned back home to Champaign, what was the lasting impression you're listening to, or the Southern Illinois portion, the port south of 64, Erica, what impression were you left with the people in the meetings that you attended?
I was left, first of all, with a great deal of gratitude, because there were so many people who welcomed me into their farms, their businesses, their communities, and I left with a sense of gratitude that they were so open and willing to do that. We also had a great town hall yesterday in Carbondale. The chamber sponsored an event for us, and it drew people from a broad cross-section, law enforcement, social service providers, business owners, and people said, we want you to go and to fight for us to make sure that the law is enforced and that people are treated equally under the law and that you don't forget about us in Southern Illinois. And that's what I took from the tour. People want to know that their voice, their interests, their industry, and their region matters, and that when I win, I won't forget them. And I gave them my commitment. I will not forget you, because you do matter.